Blog Talk Radio.
And at that moment you'll notice you're not as dead as you thought you were. And you'll realize there's nothing more effective for breaking you free than philosophy in action. And when your intent and your actions are in alignment, you can finally stop pointing fingers at everyone and everything else and harness the power within and commence your empowered life with a mindset that screams, I'm free!
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Self-Esteem Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. As always, you are welcome to participate with this show. There's a couple of ways you could do it. Of course, through AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show. Just tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to participate in the show. Another way, if you don't have access to AOL, just go to our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Go to the Contact Us section, and there's a live feedback form there. Just again, tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to participate. One of my favorite guests coming on in a moment, Marianne Rademacher. She's an internationally best-selling author. She conducts workshops on living a full, creative, balanced life. We've been doing a new series with Marianne that so many of you love, including myself. We're talking about her powerful piece, Live with Intention, and we've been going over the ideas and wisdom and practical strategies that come along with this beautiful piece. Today we're going to be talking about listening hard. So definitely we should all be listening hard today. A powerful show, no doubt, anytime Marianne comes on. First, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. So many of you doing so many terrific things. Listen, don't ever stop. Ever, 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 ever. Don't. Just do something out there. It could be so simple. Just participate in any way. Do anything. Cause a smile. You could change so many things by just these little steps. It's those little things. Anything that has happened that we consider great, an enormous magnitude on society and on lives, if you look at it, once you dissect it, you see that it isn't one big thing. It's a bunch of little things, little decisions made along the way. That's what creates our reality. So create a shift today. Do something out of the ordinary. While you're listening to me talk, somebody send somebody a text message that says you appreciate them, that you're sorry, that you love them, whatever. Start causing smiles today. It is amazing what can happen when people are inspired with infectious enthusiasm, how much things can change. You can be in the same situation you're in, but somebody can cause you to change, to look at it and label it a different way. It could be the kindest gesture that can do that, that creates what we call that light at the end of the tunnel. So let's participate, Better Today community. I know so many of you organizing so many things around this holiday season. Don't forget that while embracing your spirituality, don't turn your back on your humanity. There are people out there that need you. There are plenty of heroes that would love to hear from you in your own communities, military heroes, the police, the firemen, the brave people who have gone through so much. Make sure you don't forget them. Participate, 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 and let's keep doing it. For more information about us, about that kind of stuff, just check out our websites. We have tons of information on there. I want to get to the show. Marianne Rademacher is a writer and artist. She conducts workshops on living full, creative, balanced life. She teaches internet writing seminars and works with individual clients. She's been writing since she was a child and uses her writing to explore symbols and find meaning. She is an internationally best-selling author. Her website's MarianneRodemacher.net. I love having her on the show. She brings her timeless wisdom and signature soothing style of conversation for a conversation that's always entertaining and inspiring. And on a personal note, who you hear on the radio, folks, the reason I love Marianne so much is who you hear on the radio is who she is. Whether we're having a private conversation or a conversation on the air, Marianne is exactly what you hear. And these are for me, the heroes of this world. So I'm excited to have her back on today. We're going to be talking about listening hard. Marianne Rodemacher, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you, Steve Maraboli.
What is it you say?
One person,
yeah,
one...
The power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
There it is. I can't wait to tell you the story about how you changed my day.
Me? I would love to hear
But I will wait.
Oh, exciting. It's always great to hear you. You know, we came up with this series. I had asked you to do it because anytime you came on the show, I would get feedback, and I get feedback, Marianne, all the time. I get the show is about the listeners, and I invite participating. So I get hundreds of emails and tons of feedback during the show. But whenever you were on, it was a little bit different. They were a little bit different insights on how you made people feel and how comfortable they felt with you and how real you came across. And those are the types of messages I don't usually get. And they were reflective of what I was thinking and why I loved having you on. So I asked you, and some synchronicities led me to see your name on walls and magnets and all kinds of stuff. So I asked you to do this, and I'm really excited about this series. Today we're talking about listening hard, and this is, ironically and synchronistically, something that's been popping up in my life recently. Is this piece, the Live With Intention piece, is this something that you wrote in a couple of minutes, or is this something that you went over and methodically pieced together? How did this piece come together?
This piece emerged out of a very profound experience with an older friend of mine who was dying of pancreatic cancer. And she created a team around her, knowing perfectly well, because it was so far advanced, she knew she wasn't going to come out of it. She knew she was walking to the end of her life. So she set up a team around her and established her rules of how she wanted to spend her days while she ended her life. And I was part of that team for 6 weeks. And in that period of time, I learned so much about how to live by watching Frankie die. And the day that our community had the memorial service for Frankie, I stayed home and wrote Live With Intention. So it didn't happen in minutes. It took all the events of my life and a friend leaving the planet to articulate these lessons for me. But it's become my life mission statement. This is how, essentially, I aspire to enter all my days.
And
Listen Hard specifically came about because as Frankie's pancreatic cancer became more prominent in her body, you had to get closer and closer and closer to her to hear her words. To the point in the last days where literally, if you wanted to hear what she had to say to you, you had to lay down beside her and put your ear right to her face and listen hard. And that's where this particular aphorism in the poem came from. And it's come to mean so, that's the physical origin, but it means so much more than that to me now.
I agree. I mean, we learn so much by listening. It's actually the only time we do learn when we're speaking. We're only repeating things we already know. It's when we listen that we're learning things. But it gets difficult sometimes, Marianne, to quiet the chaos in your own mind and listen in events. Do you have strategies? What do you do when you know there's a time that you need to listen hard?
this will be a little difficult for our listeners who have grown up keyboarding, because there's a generation of our friends that didn't really even have to go through that method of learning how to type. But some of our listeners will say, I know exactly what she means when she says J, J, J space, K, K, K space, because that's how I learned how to type, is the muscle memory for my fingers held in a position on the keyboard. Do you know what I'm talking about, Steve?
Absolutely.
Okay. That is how I listen. And in fact, a friend of mine, she's 12 now, but she was 6 or 5 when she made this comment to me. She looked at me and she said, "Why are you always frowning when I'm talking?" I said, "Hey, I'm not frowning. I'm not frowning when you're talking to me." And she said, "Your face is all screwed up and your eyebrows are all together." And I said, "Well, that's because I'm listening to you really hard. I'm concentrating." And she said, "Well, you better be careful about how hard you concentrate, because you're going to get all kinds of wrinkles on your face." But when I'm listening to somebody, Steve, sometimes I'm taking notes of what they're saying, and sometimes I'm just almost being visual. Not only am I hearing the words, but I'm seeing them. And being that fully engaged in what someone's saying to me helps me really embrace the words that they're speaking to me.
Do you do the same for yourself? Do you do the same do you ever take time to listen to your own thoughts and listen to your own maybe fears or reservations about something, or listen to your own thoughts on appreciation? Do you take the same time to do that?
I do, and I do it in a different way. I often let the things that I'm trying to listen to, I let them write to me. I let things that I want to understand better, and this is a great technique. A lot of people use this in many different settings. So when I'm puzzled about something and I want to understand it better, or I want to really hear what my health or my schedule or my project is trying to say to me, I personify it, and I let it write me a note. So a couple of months ago, I let my home, the home that I'm looking for, the home that my husband and I want to move to this spring, I let it write me a note and tell me what it is that it wants. And it's fascinating, because really, Steve, I get that I'm really writing a note to myself. but it's a great imaginative tool to listen to myself in a different way and not be in a hurry.
And I think
so
it would also be like the freedom to be even a little bit more honest, I guess, as well.
Sometimes it really feels like I've just gotten a letter from my home, because it's full of discovery. I suspend my pre-existing assumptions about what I think I want, and it opens my mind to listen to a larger message. I've written a little poem that I'd love to share with you on this very topic.
Great.
Can I do that?
Please do.
It's in the category of Listen Hard, and the piece is called Infinite Knowingness. In joy, in sorrow, in understanding, in perplexity, in how we rise up and in the manner we fall down, in how we see our reflection and in how we cannot conceive of how we are or how the world is, when things seem in order and when things appear chaotic, in all these walks and all these ways, we know there is a universal force which supports our breath. In spite of pain, we know, in spite of anything, and because of everything, We know and we listen. We listen hard. That's it.
That's beautiful. Which is, you should be a writer. that's so beautiful. And at the same time, I hear it, and the power behind it is immeasurable. If we could learn, Marianne, to really listen hard, not just to our friends, but to ourselves, and get out of our way with those preconceived ideas and rules and attachments to outcomes that don't yet exist. If we could really listen hard, we could really free ourselves from a lot of the stress and chaos in our own minds.
We often say to ourselves, man, I thought I learned this lesson. Here I am again, same song, 37th verse. How does that happen? And it happens because we haven't listened to the infinite knowingness, the message that is tapping on our shoulders. And I guess I have two things I'm excited to share with you, because I've started a process that could very well address that in a practical way in our lives. But man, I'm just like a little kid. I want to tell you this story about what happened last night.
Please tell.
Okay. One person, one kind gesture. I was speaking in Seattle last night. You know it's very cold in the Pacific Northwest, and it was below freezing. And I had a coat on that it's a really big coat. It's fleece on the inside, and it's this false, fake fur hide type of material on the outside. So it's like wearing two blankets. It's the warmest coat I have, and I had that on. And I went to dinner at this big complex across the street from where I was lecturing. And because of a promise I made myself yesterday, I promised to act in unconventional ways all day. So I went out the opposite direction that I came in, just to keep that promise to myself. And there, as I walked out the door, the warm door on the inside, the blast of Arctic air hits my face, and I look down at the corner, and there's this tiny woman crouched on a box with a cardboard sign, a ski jacket, tennis shoes, and a pair of khaki pants on. And I'm thinking, I'm dressed in warm clothes, I have boots on, and a coat that's like two blankets. That woman has to be freezing. And I smile at her. Steve, I smiled at her, I nodded, and I walked on. And as I'm walking fast, because I'm so cold, every thought that I took, my footsteps slowed down even further. And I thought about you and your one person giving one coat to one person who's cold. I thought about all the coat drives that you've organized. And by the time I got half a block away and I remembered my promise to be unconventional, and I thought I could hear your words, one person, one kind gesture, one act of kindness, I didn't even look at my watch. Because I was supposed to be starting my lecture. I turned around. I walked back to the corner. And the woman said, what? Like, because I did it so quickly, it was like she thought she was going to get in trouble or something. I put my purse on the sidewalk. I unbuttoned my coat. I said, would you stand up? And she did. And I took my coat off. And I said, turn around. And I helped her into the coat. And I turned her shoulders back toward me, and I buttoned up that coat like she was a little girl. And I tucked the collar under her chin, and she said, you're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm not kidding. Try to stay as warm as you can. And she reached almost down to her ankles, and she said, this is going to keep my legs so warm. And she was crying. And as I walked away, dang it, Steve, I was so cold. I was so cold, and I was grateful for every chilly step because I thought, this is what Steve Maraboli is talking about when he says, do something, participate, make a difference. I have other coats. She doesn't. And I just treasure the way that you impacted my night before a lecture in the city of Seattle, Washington, and I just thank you.
Oh,
and I listen to you. I listen to you, Steve.
You make
a difference.
That makes my heart smile because there's so many opportunities that we have to do things like that, and you don't even know what boggles my mind. I think about sometimes, Marion, like, you don't even know, Marion, what that did for that woman. You know that it kept her warmer for that, but you don't know what impact that's going to have on her 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Today's best-selling authors, Lisa Nichols, talked about how when she was really poor, and it was little bits of kindness here and there that other people gave her that today makes her so charitable. I mean, they didn't know back then that they were giving to a future multimillionaire. They were just giving to that. You don't know what impact you're having on this woman, and who exactly you were whose life you were touching. And it, with the beauty of that is that it doesn't matter who it was. It's you. It's me. It's our sister. It doesn't matter who they are or what they're doing. What matters is who we are and what we're doing. And hearing that story really touches my heart because that's the essence of our humanity. One of the most spiritual things we can do, Mary, and I know this hasn't been the push of the spiritual new age industry, but really one of the most spiritual things you can do is embrace your humanity. That was the
yes.
whole point of Jesus. The whole point of Jesus wasn't for him to come here and separate himself. He was the one saying, wait, I'm the Son of Man. I'm you. I'm sitting here with you. You're dirty, I'm dirty. You're hungry, I'm hungry. The point wasn't for him to separate himself. That was done later. That was done later by different organizations. His point was, listen, it's the point of humanity. It's about touching people's lives, and acknowledging what you did for this woman, Marianne, is not just give her a coat. You acknowledged that she was cold. Do you know how many people didn't? You know how many people walk out and say, oh, I'm cold. Oh, wow. They very rarely acknowledge that she's cold. And not only did you give her a coat, but you acknowledged that she was cold. And that's a validation of life for some people that will absolutely change their lives. Undoubtedly.
Well, and let's also acknowledge, Steve, that it didn't happen when I walked out the door and saw her. It took half a block of listening to my heart and my infinite knowingness within me. It took that amount of time for me to turn around. And I think that turn around part is where I often have the struggle. Because a half a block away, when I'm supposed to be on time to give a lecture, it's easy to say, well, it's a missed opportunity, or it's too late, or next time.
Right. You live the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Well, a half a block later, I lived the parable.
That is the parable. The parable is that others walked by, and it's not that they were bad for walking by. This year they had their justifications. They could have said, oh, well, you know what, I see the injured man, but I don't want to deal with him specifically. I want to tackle the ills of the society that led to this. I mean, it could be that simple, but you did do that one kind gesture, one person at a time. And, yeah, you know what, Marianne, nobody, for anyone who's out there listening to this, Marianne's talking about happens all the time. It happens to me all the time. You don't step out of a door and, oh, you are just a reflection of holiness at all times. often a conscious decision. I've even been, I told a story, Marianne, where I was tested with this once, and this is actually like kind of a, this ended up in one of our ghost discussions and spirit discussions, but I was tested once. When I got out of the military, I wanted to finish up my degrees, and when I went to the local college, I had gone to military college, and the local college, sometimes some of the classes didn't transfer, so for some reason they wouldn't take, you know, hostage negotiation instead of English, you know? So some of them wouldn't, some of them didn't transfer as well, right? So I was actually a full-time college student while working full-time while starting this company called The Better Today. Actually, at the time, the first incarnation of A Better Today was called A Higher Self, and I had started this, so I had working full-time, was a full-time student, and I was running from my college class was over, and I had to run to work. So I was running, and I was running, and I, of course, I caught this guy, this older man in a wheelchair in the parking lot, clearly looking lost. You know, I know what lost looks like, and he was lost and confused. And I'm running to my car, and I keep looking back, and I keep looking back, and I'm looking at my clock and my watch, and I'm running to the car. And, of course, I turn around. I'm like, shit, I got to turn around. So I turn around, and I'm like, all right, dude, what are you looking for? I'm almost irritated that I had to do it, but I know I had to. So what are you looking for? He says, oh, I'm looking for the G building. And he's in this wheelchair where the curb couldn't be any bigger. He's nowhere near a little ramp. I'm like, well, this is the G building. Let's go. So I'm racing this guy, racing him around and pop him up there, and I'm wheeling him, and I'm like, do you know where do you need to go? He says, I just need to go to the third floor or whatever. And I'd gone up those stairs a million times, and I said, I don't know that there's an elevator. And he says, oh, there's an elevator next to the stairs. I had never noticed it, and it didn't occur to me at that moment, if you've never been here, how do you know where the elevator is? But never mind, I wasn't paying attention to it. I needed to get this guy in there. So I got him in there, and I left him at the elevator, and pushed the button and started walking out and turned around because it just occurred to me. Oh, I'm sorry. After I pushed the button for the elevator, I said, okay, listen, have a great day. And he said, thanks, Steve. And I kept walking. And as I'm leaving, I recognized, wait, did he just call me Steve? I look back, Marianne, this guy's not there. The guy was not there. The elevator button was still pushed, but this guy was not there. And it was a challenge that I had passed on that occasion. I can't say that I passed every one of those, but I want people to know what Marianne is saying. The fact that she thought about it doesn't dilute it. If anything, it makes it stronger, and we all get this. You know, a lot of you know, listen, advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer but wish we didn't. At that point, I knew I had to go help this guy, but I wish I didn't because I had to be at work. But I turned around and did it anyways. A lot of you know when you're in these situations, you do second guess and third guess and think about how it's going to affect you. And that was the whole point of the parable of the Good Samaritan, is if we can change the question in our head, if we can acknowledge someone else. So Marianne, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the question that I think it was the priest and the Levite, the question they were asked, they were thinking, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? In other words, will touching him make me not worthy of giving out the sacraments later? Is this a ploy? Is he playing possum? And the second I go help him, I'm going to get jumped? You know, their question was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? The Good Samaritan, all he did was in his mind. His agreement with reality was different. He reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And that's really all it takes, folks. With the tweaking of what makes a difference, that one kind gesture, it's not anything, again, it's not a, ooh, that doesn't ever happen. It's a simple decision you make to acknowledge someone else. And then your heart tells you what to do.
And I think there are really two questions. There's the reversal of the question, and then there's this. If I do not stop to help this person, what will happen to me?
I love it.
Both questions are really important, and maybe even the what will happen to me question is the first question. Because if all of our actions in our mind ultimately play back into our own lives, even helping someone else ultimately ends up being about ourselves.
Oh, powerful, powerful
as
stuff.
As self-serving as that sounds, I think it may be true. So if I do not do this, what will happen to me?
Folks, we are speaking with Marianne Rademacher, internationally best-selling author of numerous books. Make sure you check out her website, MarianneRodmacher.net. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to gather some of the feedback. Feedback's going crazy. Plus, I'm starting to sweat. Marianne Rademacher gets me so worked up. I love this woman. Make sure you check out MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. And we're doing a series. It's called Live with Intention. Today, we're talking about listening hard. Feedback to AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Or through our website, EmpoweredLivingRadio.com. Fill out the feedback form. I'm going to gather up some. We're going to take a very quick break. You all want to listen to a little Dr. King? Dr. King, you're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back.
Don, if you and Bernard happen to be around when I come to the latter day, in that moment across the Jordan, I want you to tell them that I made a request. I don't want a long funeral. In fact, I don't even need a eulogy more than 1 or 2 minutes. I hope that I will live so well the rest of the day. I don't know how long I'll live, and I'm not concerned about that. But I hope I can live so well that the preacher can get up and say he was faithful. That's all. That's enough. That's the sermon I'd like to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been concerned about others. That's where I want to go from this point on the rest of my day. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to be a servant. I want to be a witness for my Lord. Do something for others. And don't forget in doing something for others that you have what you have because of others. Don't forget that. We are tied together in life and in the world. And you may think you got all you got by yourself. You know, before you got out here to church this morning, you were dependent on more than half of the world. You get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and you reach over for a bar of soap and that's handed to you by a Frenchman. You reach over for a sponge and that's given to you by a Turk. You reach over for a towel and that comes to your hand from the hands of a Pacific Islander. And then you go on to the kitchen to get your breakfast. You reach on over to get a little coffee and that's poured in your cup by a South American. Or maybe you decide that you want a little tea this morning only to discover that that's poured in your cup by a Chinese. Or maybe you want a little cocoa that's poured in your cup by a West African. Then you want a little bread and you reach over to get it and that's given to you by the hands of an English-speaking farmer, not to mention the baker. Before you get through eating breakfast in the morning, you're dependent on more than half of the world. That's the way God structured it. That's the way God structured this world. So let us be concerned about others because we are dependent on others.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. For more information about A Better Today, our speeches, our programs, seminars, we've currently got programs, charity programs, empowered women programs, education programs, veterans programs, disaster relief programs, and tons and tons of food pantry clothing programs and stuff like that. We've got them running in 45 countries, I think the number is now. So if for any information about that, for my brothers and sisters in the military, for information about what we do with all of you and how we could help you out, also check out same website, abettertoday.com. That's abettertoday.com. For all our corporate stuff, at stevemaraboli.com. And what we're creating here at empoweredlivingradio.com, we are creating a library. The large, I don't think that any library like this exists on Earth, a digital library that's 100% free, conversations, intimate conversation with today's great thinkers and communicators, discussions about life, about business, about philosophy, religion. There doesn't exist. We have probably over 300 hours of radio shows now available 100% free. Folks, you don't even have to put in your email address. If you want to share that, share it. You don't have to. Just click on a link, download a show, burn it to disk, do whatever you want. You could also get it free for free at iTunes. We're both listened to and subscribed to Health and Wellness Podcast on iTunes. And it's really remarkable because we've never once advertised this show, ever. It is all because of you. I created this show. The Better Today mission is to make sure the arms of empowerment can reach out and embrace everybody 100% free. I created this show to just start sharing, and I decided to never advertise because I wanted to create this community. I'll do the show, but you tell each other about it. And you did it. You do it. I get emails from there's not a continent that I haven't gotten an email from, where they don't play this show or some radio station somewhere plays this show. We're on Christian stations all across the country, terrestrial radio stations in Europe, in Spain, in Portugal. You'll hear the show on the radio as well as, of course, online. In Australia, they have radio stations that play this. Now, some of their top 40 stations play this kind of in the middle of the night type stuff, but they're playing it. We've never advertised it, and we've never charged a penny. All I ask is that you participate. When you hear Marianne Rademacher say something powerful, don't just write it down. Write it down and then tell somebody else. And don't just tell them. Send them a link to Marianne's website, to the radio show's website. Get them a copy of Marianne's book. This is how we participate. We take it, but we also share it. So for all information about our show, just make sure you check out our website, empoweredlivingradio.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. This is a show for you, so feel free to contact us anytime. If you want an author or a topic discussed, just let us know. I'm the most contactable fellow there is. So, you know, I remember reading about Ram Dass, and they said, well, sir, how do we get in contact with you? He said, I'm in the phone book under Dass. I like that way of being and want to be the same way. So make sure you feel free to contact us anytime and tell us what you think of the show and offer some guest suggestions. That's how we do this show, and that's how we'll always do this show. We're speaking with one of my favorite guests, Marianne Rademacher. She's an internationally best-selling author. She's an artist. She teaches internet writing seminars. She's written some fantastic books. Of course, these books are – I have a special – what I call, listen folks, don't judge me, but what I call my sanity bookshelf, where when things get a little chaotic for me, there are certain books that I turn to for, this is my meditation, reading what Marianne writes and some other authors, including Marcus Aurelius, whose book, ironically, is called Meditation. But I these are books that I refer to for my own sanity to remind me. You know, I read a quote once that said, you know, a great companion, a true companion, hears the song in my heart and sings it to me when my memory fails. Well, Marianne, for me, is one of these friends. And I don't have to call her. I pick up one of her books, and she sings to me what I know is in my heart. So I'm excited to have her on. Today we're talking about listening hard, and feedback is going crazy. I'm going to start with the feedback, Marianne, and let's start with... Let's start with Karen in Memphis, Tennessee. Karen writes, Steve, excellent show. I love Marianne's work. I was introduced to her work on your show and now have all her books, and I really appreciate it. I was curious about two things. First, if she was going to do a big, full-sized artist book as like a coffee table book. And second, listening hard and relationships. Can Marianne talk about the correlation of healthy relationships and listening hard?
Karen, a coffee table book will probably happen someday. And in the meantime, my little books, my little gift books, if you stack them together, they kind of look like a big coffee table book. So that's what I would suggest. Make a little puzzle out of them and put it in the middle of your coffee table till I get a big one done. And listening in relationship, I have two practices. One is that it's classic, taught in every business exchange, that not annoyingly do I repeat exactly back what the person has said, because that's just being a mimic.
Right.
But I do, in exchange, in my significant relationships, I say, boy, is this what you just said to me? Now, please, that can be said two ways. Did you just say blah, 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 which is an invitation to a fight? That's not what I'm recommending. What I am recommending is calmly saying, what I think I just heard you say is, and I'm going to tell you what you just said means to me. Because we all translate everything we hear. And then the other thing that I do, as odd as this sounds, Karen, I don't respond. I pause to let the listening sink in. Because sometimes with a hyper-imaginative brain, as I have, and I'm a writer, so I need to be able to be imaginative, I imagine lots of things that are not said. So the second discipline in listening hard is keeping my mouth shut. Because most assuredly, if I remain quiet, the individual will then have the opportunity to drop the second shoe or really get to the point of what they're trying to say. Because oddly enough, Steve and Karen, people save that up for the last. Talk, 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 and now I'm going to tell you what's really on my mind.
Huh. In a lot of conversations that the listening is gone, and I've noticed that I've done this and probably still do this on occasion. I try to engage in conscious conversation, but on occasion, I find that sometimes I and other people will talk, and then we kind of just go on pause while the other person makes noise. And then when their noise stops, we start talking again. And I find myself doing this, and then they're doing this, and you can have a whole quote-unquote conversation, but nobody was really listening to anything that the other person had to say. This is obviously a cause for some trouble in relationships, and I think that Karen was gearing towards, based on what she wrote next, was gearing towards personal relationships. How do we get out of our own way in that situation?
It's a good thing to remember that one of the bases for comedy sketches is having dialogue that is based on two separate conversations. So how we get out of it is making sure that we're in the same conversation. When you realize that a person is bringing their own priority and their own agenda to a conversation, you can just say, okay, I'm going to put my bag down, I'm going to put my stack of books down, and I agree to participate in this person's agenda, rather than trying to operate on two different tracks. And you can narrate it. You can say, well, let's pay total attention to this first, and then I have an item I want to discuss. Because so often our conversations end up being tugs of war, don't they?
Yeah.
One person pulling toward their agenda, and then the other person pulling back. It would be a lot more productive if you just agreed to do one at a time.
Like Native Americans would pass a stick, right? The person holding the stick would be the one who could could speak and reflect their emotions, and then and no one could respond until unless they were holding that stick.
That's a very good example of how that would work, Steve.
Huh. It's tough to do sometimes because you do see, and I know for myself, and folks, you're listening to a therapy session between Steve and Marianne Rademacher. what I find sometimes, Marianne, is that agenda that you're saying sometimes does turn me off immediately, especially when I see it coming from, you know, 1,000 miles away, and it seems to me, I don't know if it's just today or if I'm just becoming aware of it in the past couple of years, but it seems to me that the truth, you know, authenticity, is often the first casualty in an interaction between two people, and I see it right away, and you see like the inauthenticity sometimes in a conversation, and it just turns me off. Are you saying that maybe I shouldn't be immediately turned off, that there could still be good in the conversation if I can get out of the label I'm placing on the conversation?
Well, or if you allow for the premise that there's talk, 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 and then what I'm really trying to say, the lack of authenticity might exist for a whole bunch of reasons, not the least of which could be that the person speaking is clueless. They may not even be aware that they're not truly connected. And so if you enter a conversation more as an explorer than simply an observer that has created what is essentially a judgment on the content, you could spend a few moments exploring to see if you could get to an authentic place. And you know what? If you can't, I guess you have somewhere else better to be than in that conversation. Because not all conversations are going to be authentic.
We're going to keep going with the feedback before I get yelled at.
Okay.
Let's go with Bernice. Bernice is in Baltimore, Maryland. She writes, Steve, big fan of the show. Marianne, Steve often talks about relationships and listening and authenticity. I was curious about your take, not just on relationships as far as personal ones go, but how about business relationships and relationships with yourself? The problem I seem to have is being honest with myself, honest with my own opinions, and Marianne, honest with my past mistakes, actions I've taken that have hurt me still today. How do I listen hard without judging myself?
Steve, before the show's over, I want to talk about a protocol called Promises to Myself, because that's going to address what you and I spoke about earlier and what Bernice is asking. I have long said, well, for 25 years, I don't want to do business with people that I would not want to invite to my home and prepare and serve a meal to. So I have this measure, because preparing food is a very intimate action, and it is an act of service, it's an act of love, and it requires preparation and advanced planning and thoughtfulness. And this very day, I can say 100% that all of my business relationships are people that I love, admire, and would love to have come to my home. I have passed on monetary opportunity in favor of this dynamic, which feels really good to my soul. So I'm not, I have wealth of a different sort as an exchange item in this moment. And I feel that I've really been honest with myself, Bernice, and true to myself. Business is a peculiar enterprise that requires, if you had taken Steve's hostage negotiation class, you might be better equipped to perform in the business world, because sometimes in business exchanges we feel like we're taking we're either taking hostages or being taken hostage. And learning to negotiate that is a key to feeling like you're having integrity with yourself. I'm going to defer you to the latter part of the show, Bernice, because I have a protocol that could really bring you into personal accountability and remind you of your life lessons.
And that's really powerful, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you more about that, about the integrity of business and a new way of, I guess, a more honest way of doing business sometimes is listening hard, and that's for Bernice and anyone else out there. I've in my business life that's been, you know, somewhat successful, I found ways of doing exactly what you said, Marianne, and engaging whether I do business with people that I can hardly stomach. And I learned this even in this industry. There are times that I have to make those decisions. And I've done it when I was doing more Wall Street stuff and doing business coaching and executive coaching and restructuring and that kind of stuff. When I was so blessed to have so many clients that I would get to pick and choose my new ones, and they would the fun of what I do was being courted by these companies, and they say, "Oh, Steve, come out," you know, they take you to the best restaurants and the best food, and suddenly, you know, this kid from Port Washington is drinking a $200 glass of wine, and I would say to them afterwards when they'd say, "Oh, well, are you gonna work with us?" And I would say to them, listen, I could get my own $200 glass of wine. I'm very blessed, and I can do that myself. I'm no longer impressed by a $500 meal. My only question to you is, it isn't that I'm impressed with the meal. Just tell me the name of the person who served that wine, and I'm yours. And occasionally they would know, and I would work for them. And I thought of this when I realized in my own, you know, I was about 25 years old, and in my own life, and suddenly checks are coming from everywhere, Marianne, and then I started believing this, and I thought, wow, you know, and I started feeling that myself and feeling that disconnect. I said, well, that's not where I want to be, and I need to be around people who aren't there, and so what you just said really hit home with me, and I think that if more people design their business this way and built their business this way. Sometimes, folks, don't get me wrong, it might be a slower start, but it's a more solid foundation. And I'll save this for a business discussion, but I really wanted to touch on that since Marianne just said that. And Marianne, on a side note, not only is she a writer, an artist, an internationally best-selling author, she runs a business, and she runs a very successful business. And we can't take what she says lightly, because she is an entrepreneur in herself and a successful business owner. So I just wanted to jump on that, Marianne. I'm going to do some more feedback before we do promises to ourselves, but, of course, there's only 5 minutes left in the show. Everything goes so fast. Isn't that quick? We'll go with Derek. Derek in Columbus, Ohio writes, Steve, I'm a fan of your websites, and I really enjoy Marianne's work. I actually got two of her books for stocking stuffers for my wife. So thank her in advance for the cool points I'm going to get. I'm curious about Marianne's take on that jacket. Marianne seems to be quite the introspective person, and I'm curious how she felt since she did give away her coat. Did it change her life? Did it change her thoughts? Does she have a plan to do things more often, or does she tend to just live spontaneously? I'm interested to know. By the way, that story brought tears to my eyes and smiles to my heart. Thank you in advance.
Every time I act on my own infinite knowingness, it is a piece of curriculum in my own schoolroom, and I am forever changed. So the next time I see a need, maybe it'll only take me a quarter of a block before I'm able to act on it. It's the ongoing education of my soul. And yes, I am changed forever. I will write about that woman. I will write about her teeth, about the dirt on her face, and about the extraordinary sparkle that I saw in her eyes when I was almost nose to nose with her, buttoning up her jacket like I were her, like I was her mother. How could I not be changed by that?
And even I get to thinking of this, and I could hear, you know, Doctor. I played a Dr. King clip during our break, and one of the things Dr. King talked about was where he started doing little things like this, and then he said, I reached a point where I was living a life of dangerous unselfishness. And I really love hearing that, because when you think about it, Marianne, in the scheme of things, and I believe in a God in an orchestrated universe, not only were you there, not only did you make that promise to yourself in the morning to do things differently, and that led you synchronistically to come across this woman and to have those thoughts in your mind and to choose the right thing. You know, the tough thing to do and the right thing to do are usually the same thing, and you chose the right thing to do. And not only that, but if you think about it, in this perfectly orchestrated universe, you were selected. You were selected. For me, the sun hits everyone the same way, right? So a God who loves this woman as much as he loves you knew that she needed help and put you in a place, you in charge of helping her. For me, that's powerful, and it's a powerful, you know, hug and kiss from God that you even had the opportunity to help her. And that's what really resonates with me when you tell this story.
And in the model of the Good Samaritan, reversing the question, we can also say, God knew that I needed help. God knew that I needed to have my heart expanded and my perspective shifted. So he sent me that woman in a ski jacket to help me.
That is
the amazing thing about this story and how it came about. Steve, do we have a few minutes to do promises to myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
okay.
We have a few minutes. Now, what is promises to myself?
Well, promises to myself is the title of my next book that's coming out in January. And last week, I was reminded by my people, my professional people, that I needed to have a plan to celebrate the release of that book. What happened was this. Another manuscript is due, complete, on the 5th of January. And I started having a little revved up fit. Oh, my God. I have so much to do. And I felt my blood pressure rising. And right then I said, okay, this has got to stop. You have a curriculum, Marianne. You have a little process you do, this focus phrase process. You've used it for 20 years. You better kick that in. So I did double duty. I decided for 40 days I was going to make a promise to myself publicly every day and post it on my blog and my Facebook page and celebrate the action of making a promise to myself. Steve, I am thrilled to tell you that every day this curriculum is profoundly changing my life. The system works like this. Every morning, I identify a brief category of promise. And I'll give an example in a minute. The second thing I do is I make a statement about that promise, which is expanding its meaning to my own brain. The third thing I do is I personalize it. I put it in quotes, and I make a promise to myself, beginning with, Marianne, I promise that today, and then I complete the sentence. And the fourth thing I do is I make it practical. It begins with a sentence, looking into the day, this might mean. And then I fill in ways at the beginning of the day that I can imagine that impacting my day. So yesterday was promise number, I'm looking in my journal real quick here, and you'll see how that format shakes out. Yesterday was promise number 3. Category, courageously unconventional. General statement, I promise to think and behave outside habitual structures. The personal promise, in quotes, Marianne, you are unlimited in your ability to be inventive. And then the fourth, looking into the day, this might mean working from bed, not my desk, asking for help when I'd normally do it myself, surprising the guests tonight and myself at the lecture by doing something unconventional like rearranging the room. So all day long yesterday, Steve, my life, my day was so unconventional because in business conversations, in a tough copyright infringement negotiation with an absolute stranger who had violated my copyright, I did things outside my usual structure. And the results were extraordinary. The only reason I encountered that woman was because I was keeping a promise to myself, being courageously unconventional. Going out the door I came in was the quickest way to get back to my lecture space. But I went out the opposite door. Bernice, this is how you remind yourself of the lessons that you want to incorporate in your life. You choose a period of days, and you make a commitment to create promises to yourself. You don't write them out ahead of time. You live in the day. You act on the moment. You access your infinite knowingness, and you come forward with making a promise to yourself, and you live it just in the day. And the last question is, will it change your life? Absolutely yes.
Powerful stuff. Folks, I love this woman. We just spent over an hour this week with Marianne Rademacher, internationally best-selling author. She conducts workshops on living a full, creative, balanced life. She teaches internet writing seminars. Tons of information on her website, MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. If you're listening through our site, just click on her name. It'll take you right to her website. Marianne, I want to thank you so much again for coming on. I look forward to our next conversation, and I want to thank you from me and all the listeners for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for thanks for changing my life yesterday.
Thank you.
One person, one kind act.
That's it.
I'll talk to you next month.
Yes, ma'am. Folks, she's just amazing. I have nothing else to say other than she's just amazing. I love what she has to say, and the fact that she lives it. You know, I speak with so many people in this industry and so many talented, gifted people. This Marianne is a talented, gifted person who lives this. This is who you're speaking with. If you were to have a telephone conversation with her later on today, you'd be speaking to the exact same woman that you just heard for the past hour. I know that sometimes that doesn't sound shocking, but in this industry, folks, it's shocking. So make sure you check out her website, check out her stuff, MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. We're going to take a quick break. Top of the hour, we're going to do some more feedback. We're going to feedback. Also going to be welcoming back my buddy Steve Lockhart. Steve Lockhart, him and Kelly Levitt, our good friends from the Celestine community, they had started doing those gatherings. I told you the gathering I went to. It's really amazing. It's amazing what could happen when you do have conscious conversation, where listening hard definitely plays a role. And Steve's coming back on. I know a lot of you enjoyed listening to what he had to say. We're going to have another conversation. Steve's going to talk about conscious conversation. We're talking about some other things and take your feedback, so keep the feedback coming. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Mariboli. We'll be right back.